Lord, we found that we belong in your presence. You found us and set us apart. And for this we thank you. We glorify your holy name. We thank you for showing us the way, the truth and the life. And even as we draw nearer to you, even as we are awakening ourselves in worship, awakening ourselves in honoring you, in glorifying you, Lord God. Even as we come into an intimate relationship with you, even as we draw from the wells of salvation that you have filled in us, as we draw from you, Lord God, as we draw from the wells that you've planted in us, have your way in our midst. Have your way amongst us. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, Lord. We glorify your holy name. Thank you all that are joining us by way of the networks, by the way of the social platforms. God bless you for sparing a time and joining us in worship. To God be the glory. We thank you for uniting your hearts with us, uniting your spirit with us, uniting your faith with us right here, that we may worship God together. To God be the glory. In all season and in all situation, let God be praised. And as we join our hearts in worship, in praise, and in learning of God, praise be to God. It is my prayer that your life never remains the same. It is my prayer that you are changed, you are transformed, you are touched by God. You are lifted from glory to glory, that in every area of your life, God is glorified. Praise be to God. It's my prayer that you manifest your divine nature. It's my prayer that you manifest that you're a child of God. It is my prayer that you manifest the traits of Christ in you, the traits of your Father in you, the traits of the Holy Spirit in you, that you are manifesting in all the nature that Christ has made you. And it is today that we are growing more in God's word and deeper. Yes, many things may be happening out there, but as long as you float like a boat on the sea and not allow those circumstances to come inside of you, I tell you, you shall reach your destiny. You shall overcome. You shall arise above. To God be the glory. So thank you for joining us as we come into the word of God, and we bless the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are here with us, and wherever you are there, say with me that today is my day. Today is my day to be transformed, to be changed, to be touched, to be lifted up, to be given the wisdom of God in all understanding of who I am in Christ Jesus. I receive the word of God. I'm transformed by the word of God. I'm changed by the word of God. The word says who I am. I am what the word says I am. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. Thank you for joining Life Changes Empowering Center wherever you are in the world. God bless you. So today we want to continue learning on unveiling the believer. We're going to learn unveiling the believer, part 3. Praise be to God, as we come to the realization of who we are in Christ Jesus. You see, when you look down the history lane, one of the greatest things that has happened in many countries is the stripping of identity. Praise God. The stripping of identity. And today, as we come to learn of God's word, we are coming to rebuild our identity in Christ Jesus. One of the greatest things that a man could do to conquer another man is to strip their identity. And Satan has been doing that for many years, stripping the identity of believers and giving them a false identity. But I come to awaken you through this teaching, praise God. Awaken you to what your truthfulness is. Wherever there was a conqueror, the conqueror made sure that he disrupted the identity, that people cannot relate to themselves as they ought to. And that is what Satan did along the ages. He stole from Adam and told him, you are not like God. He stole from Eve and told him, you are not like God. You must eat the fruit to be like God. But to God be the glory. Today we have the truth, hallelujah, that as we learn God's word, we unveil ourselves to what truly we are in God. Praise be to God. As we begin this text today, I want to bring an analogy that will relate to the needfulness of us understanding our identity. We've been going through all this and we started by identifying the life of Christ in us. We started also by identifying many things of what a believer is. A believer is not under condemnation. God is not condemning a believer anymore. God is not looking at the sins of the believer, trying to point a finger of accusation. No more, because he has paid for anything that was raising a condemnation against us. We've seen many of the things which I can highlight here, that all the sins of the believer have been remitted, like a paycheck was made to pay off all the loans. Let me use financial terms here. To pay off all the debt that owed, praise God, that interrupted our relationship with God, Jesus paid it all, praise God, that we may no longer walk around with a chip on our shoulder, worried about, oh God, I'm a terrible man, because no man can be perfect before God, no man, but Jesus was perfect on our behalf, praise be to God. And so we also continue to understand that in making us perfect, he joined us together. He made us to be that we are one with him. Because in our frailty, we cannot be able to make our ends meet. We are always greedy. So he gave us his nature, praise God. And we became the righteousness of God. That in our frailty, he becomes the strong one on us. Praise be to God. Just like the Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? So we had to agree with his nature that we may stand, praise be to God. We also continue to learn many things concerning how the law had been stopped, that we may become children of grace. But today, as we open in unveiling the believer number three, I want to use this analogy in Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. Let's build ourselves from there. And one thing we stopped before is that a believer is a child of God. Somebody say with me, a believer is a child of God. Yes, he's a child of God. And we want to understand, what does it mean? Anybody can be a child of anybody. But what does it mean to be a child of God? It comes with benefits. And so we have to realize what we mean when we say, I'm a child of God. Everybody's a child of somebody. But what does it mean to be a child of God? So let us continue to pick ourselves up from this analogy in Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. If you are on Facebook there, you could say amen wherever you are. Praise the Lord. What does it say to us? It says in verse 24, And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? These are tax collectors these are not tax collectors as of the government, but these are people that were collecting tribute as connected to the temple. The temple had to get remuneration to help it sustain itself or for maintenance. So every Jew was kind of by law meant to be affording a little bit of something to make the temple run, praise God. So they come to the door where Jesus, in the house Jesus was, and Peter was outside somewhere, But he came in and he says, doesn't your master pay tribute? Verse 25. He says, yes. Peter says, yes. And when he was come into the house, that means they met him outside, Jesus knew what had happened outside even when he wasn't there. Jesus prevented him. In other words, before he said anything, Jesus had known what was being done outside. Jesus prevented him saying, started to teach him, what thinkest thou, son Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children, all of strangers? And Peter says unto him, of strangers. Jesus says unto him, then are the children free? Praise God. Then are the what? Are the children free? We notice here that the temple tax collectors were demanding tax from Jesus. They wanted Jesus to pay a tax for maintaining the temple. But in understanding the truth of all this, the tax was a tribute to maintain the temple of God. Remember that. It is a tribute given to maintain the temple of God. But the true temple is Christ himself. At this moment in time, the true temple is who? Is Christ himself. And now they are coming to the temple itself, or they are coming to the one whom they worship, yet they don't know, and who the temple himself, who has also made us also the temple of God, as we come into the whole truth of analyzing it, they come to ask a tribute. So in other words, it tells us or reveals to us that for Jesus, the Son of God, to pay this tax was as if he was paying himself. Was as if he was what? Paying himself. In this question, he taught Peter a lesson on sonship status. Watch. He told him, in other words, he said to him, Peter, is it the strangers that pay or is it the children that pay? And Peter says, it is the strangers. He was teaching him of the privileges of a son, of all the privileges of a children that belong, praise be to God. And so he says, the children, in other words, he revealed to us, the children of the kingdom are free. The children of the kingdom are what? Are free. The lesson behind this is we learn that the status of a child of God grants you liberty. The status of a child of God grants you. Jesus is bringing an analysis here to analyze to them that, listen to me, if you are going to keep and understand the relationship you have with your Father, there are certain things you need to come to realize, that as a child of God, there are privileges of liberty that are attached to your status. Oh, praise be to God. There is a liberty that comes with being a child of God. When we do not know what our status of a child of God offers us, it will cost us in ways we don't know. When you don't endeavor to unveil what the status of a child you are, what your status in God is, somehow down the line of your living, it will cost you. It will bring a cost upon you which you don't deserve to pay. Somebody may say, what do you mean? You see, when you don't know what your status offers, you will stress and worry over things you have been given dominion over. You will stress and worry about things God has given you dominion over. And somebody may say, what kind of things? You see, a child of God needs not to pay for joy. I say a child of God doesn't need to pay for, because joy is inherent in his nature. When you don't know that, you start to find your joy in the bottle. You start to find your joy in the cigarette. You start to find your joy in the stray. You find your joy in different things because you feel like there is an incompleteness inside of you. But a child of God, praise be to God, has a nature built in joy. His nature is joy. His nature is like joy is like the color of his skin. Praise be to God. Because the Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. To God be the glory. But if you don't know your status and what your status offers, you start to pay for something that is inherent in your life. Am I talking to anybody? A child of God need not to pay peace, for Christ is become and has become our peace. He has become our peace. So you tell me, what does it mean to be a child of God? It means peace. It means joy. It means love. It means being lavish, praise God. And this is what the world doesn't know. That we go ourselves selling ourselves short into a bottle, sell ourselves short into drugs, sell ourselves short into, because we are looking for that thing that fills a vacuum inside of us. We are on a search of something that can help us meet. But I came to tell you, you are more precious than that. We cannot sell ourselves short, praise God. Wherever you are listening to me on YouTube, on it, you are more precious than that. Your joy is not in a bottle. When you understand the status of being a child of God gives to you, you will understand that you are the inherent of the things that you desire are already supplied. They're already supplied in with it. Some people don't understand why every time we are clappy people, every time we are laughing people, every time we are joy, every time you have a smile, even if, as if you have £1 million in the bank, but you still smile as if that. Why? Because my joy doesn't come on how big my account is. My joy doesn't come on how big my joy is an inherent peace inside me. Glory be to God. Can I hear children of God in this place? Is there a child of God down there? My joy is imbued. So Jesus says, you are free. Children are free. Children, joy don't cost you anything. Analyze this. We are the temple of God. The scripture says we are what? The temple of God. These people ask for a tribute to maintain the temple. I don't need a tribute to maintain my temple, so that my temple may have a smile, so that my temple may have joy. No, those things are inbuilt. They are what? Because I carry the Hosanna in me. I carry Jesus in me. I carry the Spirit of God in. Their temple was empty with no Spirit of God. So they had to create things that make as if God is there. Because the real God was outside the temple, being asked of tribute. Give us tribute because the temple is empty. Child of God, I came to tell you, there is a benefit that comes for you knowing that you are a child of God. It shall not cost you joy. But it will guarantee you the joy of your life that is inbuilt in within your system. So if you don't endeavor to discover, and that is the basis and the reason of what we're doing today, unveiling the identity of a believer. Many believers don't identify themselves to what they have become, and so they sell themselves short. But today, may God unveil you of your identity in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I have the joy of the Lord in me. The joy of the Lord is the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody say, the joy of the Lord is the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, it just produces it. To God be the glory. So that's why I want you to give me your ears today as you hear us talk about children of God, because it is for your benefit to know that they are benefits attached to knowing your status. Today we're going to go to point number 9, which is, again, which I'm trying to emphasize, is the children of God. A believer is a child of God. What we were introducing before was an analogy of the importance of what we needed to realize knowing our status is important. But now we must come to the realization, I'm a child of God. Somebody say, I'm a child of God. Yes, I'm born again. To be a child of God, you must be born again. You must be what? You must be born again. And that does that. Let's look at it in John chapter 3, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. These are the words of the Master. This is him saying, praise be to God. He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, not that perhaps, not that probably, no. It is a complete negative. He cannot and see the kingdom of God. That kingdom is not going to see it just when we go to heaven. But right now, by seeing joy in your life, by seeing peace in your life, you are seeing the kingdom of God. For the Bible says the kingdom of God is what? Peace, joy, righteousness. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, those things, you can experience them right now. Right now you can have your joy by entering the kingdom of God. So he says to us, you cannot see the what? The kingdom of God except you're born again. Verse 4 quickly. What does it say to us? It says, and Nicodemus says, this was a learned man, a man who knew what the Bible says, what the Torah said. He was so well educated in it, and he was confused with what Jesus said. And Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Which is a very clear question. It is an intellect, it's a question of real trying to logic. Let me use say logic. How can you talk of born again? Jesus explains, verse 5, praise God. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Now, he's not talking being born of a woman. Do you see that? He's being born of water. He's answering him. It's not about going back in your mother's womb. This is about being born of water. And we saw last week, and it says, this water is the same as the same word, spirit. Be born of water and of the spirit. In other words, it's like saying being born of water, even the spirit. What? Even what? The spirit. Because these are synonymous in their interpretation. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It cannot enter. So the birth is spiritual. It is not a physical birth. It is a word, a spiritual birth he's talking about. Verse 6, he goes on to say, praise be to God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Your mother gave birth to you fleshly, physically. But Jesus says that which is born of the spirit is also spirit. So there is a spiritual birth required of every human being, because according to the birth that we are born out of Adam, out of our ancestors, out of your mother, you are in the lineage of Adam, which sinned and failed the presence of God and failed and sinned. Even if you did not commit the sin, but because you are born in the lineage of sin, so you are born of the same identity of the flesh. So he says that which is born of the flesh remains flesh. But that which is born of the spirit is what? Is spirit. So we are talking about a spiritual birth in here. Verse 7, praise be to God. He says to us, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye must be. Verse 8, praise God. He says to us, the wind blows where it lists, where it wants to go. You see how a child of God is free? The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh and where it goes. So is the one that is born of spirit, praise God, because you are free. You don't have any bondaging thing. You don't have anything limiting you. Your joy is not capped by what you eat. No, there is a freedom. You are not limited. Today we see wind. You cannot tell where the wind is coming from. You cannot tell where it's going. You cannot tell what produced it. You don't know. But all you see is its effect. All you see is what? Yes, you see a man full of joy, smiling. You don't know why. What caused you to smile when you're so much surrounded with such coronavirus situation going on? How come you keep smiling in the midst of such challenges? How come you have your peace in the midst of such challenges? I don't know how, but something good is working inside of me, that I have the joy of the Lord. Praise be to God. He says, you don't know where this man is going. When a man is born of spirit, you don't know he's coming or he's going. You don't know because he's of the spirit. He's of what? The spirit. And that is the liberty he's talking about, that the children are free. The children, they're not limited. They're not put to embargoes, whereby even if look at Paul, he was locked up in the prison. Joseph, look at Paul, locked up in the prison, and they thought that, oh, they're going to be the saddest human beings in the whole world. My God, in the prison, they opened up praise and worship, hallelujah, and they started to see. And what happened? The whole prison was shaken, and the gates were opened, and they were set free. What am I saying to you? Your joy is not limited. I say your joy is not limited to what surrounds you. Your joy is not limited to what is around you. Your joy is inbuilt. So the Son of God, a child of God, can go places with no limitation, can do things with no limitation. Somebody say, I'm born of the Spirit. What are the benefits of being born of the Spirit? This is important. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 26. What does it say to us? For ye are all the children of God by faith in who? In Christ Jesus. By faith in Christ Jesus. And verse 27. For as many as of you have been baptized into Christ have put on. What have we put on? Christ. As many of you that have been baptized, that baptism is not just the water baptism. You see, we were baptized into Christ. Let me give you an example. I'm going to use this example. It may be a negative one, but it really produces the meaning. You see, when a child left Africa and was a slave, he came and was baptized into the culture in which he was sold. That boy or that man, everything that was talking about where he was cut off. He remained with appearance, but he was cut off, and he took on the nature of wherever he had gone. That is what God is saying. When we came into Christ, praise God, we were merged into him, in who he is. We became like him, praise be to God. We took on his nature, baptized, like somebody is immersed in water that you can't see him anymore, and then he's living. We were immersed in Christ. Come on, somebody say amen. And how did this happen? Let's look at the benefit of us being children of God. Last time we looked at it, and it says, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you has he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins. Praise God. We're dead in what? Yes, we were dead, and he quickened us to make us children of God. And how did he do that? Praise be to God. He dealt with the sin that marred us and stopped us from being what we ought to be. And how did he do that? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. This is how he got us born again. He says, being born again, being not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abides forever. So this is important. God be the glory. You were not born by things that perish. That spirit man was not born by things that are today and tomorrow they are no more. You were born by things that don't perish. We are not talking about your body. We are not talking about your snow. The spirit man, being spirit meaning is invisible right now. That man was born by things that are not seen. Praise be to God. That means that the day you leave this body, praise God, you will be like somebody who's walking out of a suit, praise God, and putting on another suit, hallelujah. You will be alive, to God be the glory, because you are born out of incorruptible. Out of what? The seed and the nature that bath you is incorruptible. It does not perish, praise be to God. So in leaving this flesh body, the new man that is born of spirit will arise, to God be the glory. And that is why we consider ourselves not according to the nature of this body, but according to the nature of the spirit body, the spirit man in us. Can we say amen? Somebody say, I'm born of incorruptible seed. Yes, we are born of incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Now, this is important, which is the word of God, the word of God that gave birth to you. Now, what comfort does it give a believer to know he is a child of God? Let's analyze this in detail. Praise be to God. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. I'm not here to tell you my words. I'm here to tell you what the word says. My words mean nothing if they are not backed up by the word of God. It is the word of God that tells us. We don't talk to it to tell it what it should tell us. No, it tells us. Now look at 1 John chapter 3. You need to embrace the benefits that come with the status of being a child of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. People look at you and they don't understand how you can be full of joy even after all that has happened around you. They don't understand how you go on clappy, praise the Lord, when glorifying God, when they don't see anything in physical to be happy about, because your happiness, your joy is not touched with things around you. It's imbued, praise be to God. Somebody say amen. He says he has called us sons of God. What has he called us? Sons of God. What does this? This is important to say. He has called us sons of God. The word sons there is, notice that it is very clear that he did not use children of God. It is by reason that he was trying to show the benefit of you being a child of God. When you were a child, that means the life we're talking about, the life going through you is the life of the parentage. The parentage life is also in you. So when somebody says he's a child of so and so, he's trying to say that child has my life, has my DNA going through him. Has my DNA going well? Because he's my child, praise God. But when we talk of the word son, he's not talking about now life. He's talking about inheritance. He's talking about what? Inheritance. He's trying to specify here clearly that you are a son of God by inheritance. In other words, what is of God is yours to inherit. The word son here is standing for inheritance, because it is the sons that take on inheritance. Are you here, someone? So the Bible is very specific, praise be to God. So he has called us sons of God. Sons of. This means that you are heir to God's inheritance. The benefit of being a child of God means I'm heir to God's inheritance. Come on, somebody. There's something to say amen for that. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's bring it home. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it will say, it says, and because ye are sons, kitia nama, gadelebo yoko tandedeba. Excuse me, I'm going in two tongues right now. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his spirit, the spirit of his son, into your heart, crying, Father, Father, praise God. To us, he is no longer God. To us, he's a father. To every other creation, to every other thing, he's a God. But to us, he's a father. Glory be to God. He's a father. Praise be to God. We cry, Abba. To them, it is God. To them, it is God. They give him all kind of name, but to us, is a father. To us, there is a relationship. To us, we have a relationship. He is a father to us. The benefits of knowing I'm a child of God is that I have a father. Ketele mayanaga. I have a father. Praise be to God. To us, is a father. Now look at verse 7. He draws it deeper and he says, wherefore thou art no more a servant. You are no longer a slave. You are no longer a servant. We are not servants. I told you the children go free. Praise God.
Thou art no more a what? But a son. He repeats it. Not just child, but a what? A son. Then he brings the interpretation of it all. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Because a son is a heir. Oh, glory be to God. A son is a what? These are the benefits that come with it. These are the benefits that come knowing that I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. Now somebody may say, but I'm a woman. No. This is about entitlement. To God be the glory. The word son is used not because of distinguishing only male. No, it is like a title given that thou, all people that fall under the category of believing in Jesus take on the heirship, praise God, upon their lives. They take on the sonship quality upon their life. This is not about gender. Those that are in Christ are one, praise God. There is no Jew, there is no Greek. There is no bond, there is no free. All are one in Christ Jesus. It says there's no male, there's no female. So this is not about gender. This is about describing the status that comes with being a child of God. God be the glory. So don't belittle these things. They are very important. You cannot be a child of God and start to talk of yourself that you're cursed. No. You are a child of God. There is an inheritance upon you. Oh, praise be to God. Now look at something deeper again. Look at something deeper. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, chapter 8, it also brings it back into realization. Chapter 8, verse 16, about the same thing. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. What does it say to us? The Spirit itself bears ikilaga. Gande ne modo goya. Yene ne makasa kateleba. In other words, if I don't believe it, the Spirit is in me, convincing me, telling me, don't look at that. Look at what you have become. Eteleda yalamandaga. Praise be to God. He's saying, if the Spirit itself bears, the Spirit itself bears what? He's telling you every time. Wherever you feel, oh God, why was I even born? Don't you say that. You're a child. The Spirit himself encourages you, tells you, don't look at what the world has done to you. Don't look at what things have become of you. Don't look at the injustice. No, you are a child of God. The Spirit is convincing me, telling me when I'm feeling overwhelmed, oh my God, what am I going to do to me? The Spirit encourages me and gives me witness with my spirit that we are children. What are we? We are children. We have the life of God oozing inside of us. There is a life of God happening inside of us. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but one thing I know, praise God, you will not remain the same. There is a new status that is opening up to your eyes that you come to realize, I'm not going to be belittling myself anymore. I have come to realize who I am. Praise be to God. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Look at verse 17. He says, the Spirit gives us witness that we are children of God. Verse 17, he says, and if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of God. And what? Joint heirs. With who? With who? Come on, somebody, shout it louder. With who? With Christ. Praise be to God. With Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we obey also, be glorified together. I am a child of God. I refuse Satan to tell you anything. You are a child of God. You are a child of. Refuse to be belittled. Refuse to be told anything else. Refuse to be told anything silly. Refuse to be told that you don't deserve. You are not worthy. No. You are a child of God. Gelega yananga soko telebada. You are a child of God. I said you are a child of God. You are a child of God. You are not defined by your flesh lineage. You are not defined by the trials and troubles that go around you. You are not defined by your skin color. You are not defined by your gender. You are not defined by your looks. You are defined by the inherent Spirit of God that is running through your being. for in him we live and have our being. Praise be to God. Who am I talking to today? Your status is not earthly. Your status is heavenly. Praise be to God. Your status is heaven. It is not tied to the trials. You are not tied to the trials in this world. They don't define. That's why the scripture told us the world doesn't know us. Because they relate to us according to earthly things, but we are not earthly. We are children of the Most High. We are children of God. Can somebody say amen? I'm a child of God. Yes. That needs to ooze through your brain, your heart, your spirit, everywhere. I'm a child of God. I don't go around begging. I'm a child of God. I don't go around depending. I'm a child. I know who I am. I know whose I am. It doesn't matter what you think of me. As long as I know who I am, I'm contented in myself. I know what I have become. I know what he has made me. Iketelegayana. Is anybody in this place? Praise be to God. Somebody may ask, what are we heirs to? We're talking about heirs. Heirs of what? What are we heirs of? Even a heir must have something his heir to. Praise God. We only just learned that we're heirs to God. But let us look at some of the examples we have. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Corinthians, this is just a snapshot of what we're heirs to. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. What does it say to us? Therefore, let no man glory in men. Let no man, for all things are Kilagaya namanga. All things are whether Paul or Apollos. This was a church that was fighting about, I am of Paul. Oh, I am of Apollos. Paul put them together and says, come on. Do you two know what you have become in Christ? Look at what he says. Whether Paul, all Apollos, all Cephas, all the world, all life, all death, all things present, all things to come. What are they? All are yours. What are they? All are yours. And he concludes in verse 23 and he says, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. All things. So if you say that we're heir to all things, what that means is the people in the world that are trying to look after the world and stressed about it, they don't know time is going to come when all things are handed back to the rightful owners. Somebody, you will catch it later. Praise God. He says all things, including the world. Now that is some of the inheritance. Look at another inheritance. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. But Galatians 3, 29, he says, and if ye be Christ's, if ye are what? We've just read there that we are Christ's, praise the Lord. Now he says, if ye be Christ, then are ye what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What was the promise to Abraham? To inherit the whole world. God told him that as far as your eyes can see, that is how far I have given to you. And Abraham did not just look at Israel. He did not just look at the mountains he was around. Abraham looked at the whole planet. He looked at the whole world. Praise be to God. And that is why Jesus is said to be the seed of Abraham. Because through Christ, through Abraham, through the seed of Abraham, we are not talking of Isaac here. We are talking of the seed, not seeds. The seed which was Jesus Christ, praise God. The seed of Abraham, which was Jesus Christ, became the heir of the whole world. And that promise, because we are in Christ, we also partake of that promise. We are also sharers of that. So you ask me, what does it mean to be a child of God? It means to be the heir of the world. What does it mean to be a son of God? It means to be the heir of all that belongs to God. God be the glory. A person in such a circumstance, why would he panic, worry, complain? He would relax at the happening of everything. He's relaxed. Because he knows, even if I run, even if I don't run, there's nothing I can change. It's all mine. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm talking to. Somebody will get it later. But I came to tell you, you are the heir to the world. Can we say amen? The heir to the promise of God. You are the heir to the what? Yes. Now look at also, in Psalms, we are a heir of something else as well. Psalm 16 verse 5. Look at this. Praise be to God. Oh, am I helping anybody today? Look at this. It says, Psalm 16 verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintain my lot. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. The Lord, hallelujah, is the portion of my inheritance. In other words, take everything else, leave me God. You take everything else, just do what? Leave me the creator of all things. He's my portion, praise be to God. Can we somebody say amen? He's my portion, he's my inheritance. And that is why we can no longer look at ourselves as we used to. Because in verse 6 he says to us, look at verse 6, I had to put this in. Verse 6 says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a good heritage. Hallelujah. I no longer look at myself as my mother's, as my father's lineage that gave birth to this flesh. Praise God. Now the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I don't look at me as born somewhere on this earth. I look at me as born in Christ. Praise God. Christ is my lineage. Christ is my... It is in him that I look, and I look back and I say, I have a good heritage. I have a word. So when you talk of inheritance, when you talk of being a child of God, it means I have a good inheritance. I have a good heritage in Christ Jesus. That's why I tell you, don't consider yourself, when you know you're a child of God, you don't consider yourself according to your earthly lineage. No. We no longer worship him according to the physical. We worship him according to the spiritual. Praise be to God. Somebody say amen. I look at myself according to the good heritage which is in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, I receive it. Can you say, I have a good heritage? Yes, your lineage is good. What does it mean to have a child of God? What does it mean to be a child of... 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16. I'm bringing clarification so that I may live confidence of your spirit. That you don't walk around with your head down because of what the world has done to you. No, 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 no. Walk with your head high, knowing that I am what God says I am, not what the world says I am. Look at this. It says to us, praise God, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What does it say to us? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Kelega. For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, what does he say? Somebody help me read it together. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, praise be to God. This is your inheritance. Wherefore, come out from among them. Come out of that lineage. Come out of that whatever it is. Come out of that thinking. Come out of thinking that you were a failure because of how far your family failed. And you're no. Come. Can somebody shout, come out? It says, come out of them. Come out from relating yourself from that which failed before. You are no longer. It says, therefore, come out from among them. And be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I love verse 18. Verse 18, praise be to God. And it says, and will be, will be a care, will be a caretaker. Eh? That word father goes deep and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Sons and either the Bible is wrong. Are you here? You ought to open your heart to what the word is saying. If he says, ye are my sons, how good a father can he be? Or how bad a father can he be to call you a son and then leave you to the elements of the world? He is the best father that can ever be. All our design of parental is designed from him. He's the source of life. He's the beginning of all things. Nothing is without him. He is saying he's going to be a father to you. Not because you are good. Not because your African fathers were good. But he's a father by his choice. What he has chosen to do, he's not going to do it because you are so good to him. No, no, no. He's doing it because you have committed to Jesus. Once you commit to Jesus, he takes care of your weaknesses and strengths. He's a father. Somebody say, I have a father. He's a father unto you, and he shall be sons unto you. Praise be to God. So all he's asking, you just call me father. I'll put everything right. Just keep calling me father. I will do what? I'll call you son, you call me father. Fine. You are here to me? Yes, I'm your father. That's what he's asking. Can you be a son today? Can you be a child of God? Praise God. Those that have not received Jesus as their personal Savior, can you receive Christ today in your life? To God be the glory, and come to the realization of what Jesus has done to this world. Can you come to the understanding that there is no hope in the world? All hope is in Christ Jesus, who has made and paved the way for us all to have a good relationship with God, the creator of all things. Can you realize how much love God has put on us? It's time to awaken to the truth of what God has said. Having mentioned about love, let us go to where we started from to pick it up and come to a conclusion of this. Look at 1 John chapter 3, where we started, and we'll pick out verse 2. Or let's read it in context. 1 John chapter 3, let's take it from verse 1 John chapter 3. Pick verse 1 and 2, we take it together in context. Beloved, what manner of love? Somebody say, I'm loved. Yes, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. And verse 2, he says, Beloved, now are we, not are going to be, now, I didn't hear you, now, not tomorrow, but not when you're dead, but not when you leave this planet, but right now are we sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as... You see, the world will see him as a terror. They will see him as judgment. They will see him as scare. They will see him as, oh God, let the mountains follow me. I can't stand this. But for us, we will say, praise. Hallelujah. We will be all open, because we will be going to one who is just like Ketela Gayanamanda. Am I talking to you, anybody here? Praise be to God. Being a child of God comes with benefits. Comes with... Because when he appear, we shall be just like him. But one thing I want you to see, which was in verse 1 there, he says, Let's see the manner of love he has bestowed upon us. You are loved. Come on, let's try it. I am loved. Somebody just try it with yourself. I am loved. You know, some people feel so down, they can't even say, I'm loved. There is a love God has set upon a believer, which is not determined by how good or bad a believer is, but it is predetermined by him alone, by his choice that he loves you. Not because of how good we've been. He says, we are loved. Somebody say, I'm loved. A believer is an object of God's love. A believer is a what? Is an object of God's love. He is on whom God expresses his affection. Praise be to God. God expresses his affection on a believer. A believer is the object of God's love. That's why he says, see, behold what manner of love God has bestowed upon us. Because the only way God can express he loves you, I don't know, words fail me, praise God. He gave Christ, hallelujah. In other words, there was nothing that he had that can best stand to express his love to us but by giving us Jesus. He looked around. Let me just paraphrase. This may not. Let me say. He looked around the heavens. He looked around the angels. He looked around the earth. He looked around the earth. He said, what can I do for them? The only thing that was suiting your love is the Son of God. Hey, praise be to God. Somebody shout, I'm loved. I'm loved. Hallelujah. I'm loved. I don't know about you, but I feel loved today, praise God. I'm loved. Yes, see the love God has bestowed upon us. How does this love benefit you? How does this love, knowing that I'm loved, what does it benefit you? Love incurred, you see, love incurs loss to save what it loves. That's how you know that there was a loss on God's part because he loved, that he may manifest his love. You cannot say love where there's no sacrifice. So what does this love mean? This love was not just yesterday. This love was not just the other day he died. No, this love is an ongoing. That means in every day and in every moment of time, praise be to God, behind the scene, without you knowing, God will give men because of the love he has for you. I'll say it in this camera. Praise God. Because you don't know what is happening, you don't know what is going around, but because of the love of God, every day, because of the love of God, he will be able to give anything and for anything because he wants to show his love in you. That is why in Christ Jesus, if he has given us Christ, with him, he can freely give us all things. Love is continually, forever, finding a way to manifest itself in your life. That means he's continuously expressing his love in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon your life. Can we say amen? That is why you see in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, Romans 5 verse 8, it says, but God commendeth his love. But God does what? Commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, Abada. Christ died for when we couldn't manage ourselves, when we never knew he even existed, when we never knew even us, when we felt that down, praise God, when we felt that dejected, when we felt we were full of sin, when we were bad to him, when we were enemies to him, when we didn't know him, Christ died. Oh, glory be to God. Christ, when we are bad, He gave his life for us. If now that he has now died and given us life, how will he hold back that which is good? He will give you even more. Praise God. Look at that. Verse 9. Father, we give you praise. For as he says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. There are benefits of being a child of God. When I come here and I shout to you, I'm a child of God. What am I trying to say to you? I don't have the wrath of God over my head. What am I trying to say to you? I belong to Christ. Don't now look and come to Christ and start to think that the sins of your father can stop Christ from loving you. Listen to me here. He says, while you were still a sinner, Christ died. While you were still that bad towards God, Christ to pay the debt. Now that he's paid it and you have come to him, child of God, rise up to the status of what God says you are. And you stand in that in Jesus' name. Now that you are saved, you become an object of his love. He sees himself in you. Somebody say, God sees himself in me. Yes, to God be the glory. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, as we come to an end, we want to draw closer to this. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. Look at this. He says, thank you, Jesus. But God who is rich in mercy, I love this. God who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, praise God, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are. By grace we are. There's something mentioned here about mercy, which I need to teach a bit. In other words, when he talks of mercy, in other words, he shows mercy to us by not treating us the way we deserve to be treated. God shows mercy to you by treating you the way you don't deserve to be treated. We deserve to die. We deserve to be punished. We deserve to be forsaken. We deserve to lose our destiny and completely get lost. But he did not choose to treat us that way. That is what mercy is. Mercy means you provide a way out for people that don't even deserve the way out. He gave us a way out. He made us, set us apart. Praise be to God. Gave us an ability to come nearer to him. Gave us an ability to be named in his family when we never deserved even to be named. That is why I'm trying to say, when you see the love of God, you cannot write yourself up to start thinking other things. God loves you. I say, God loves you. Stop imagining things that are working against you. God loves you. If you don't answer it for yourself, I say, God loves me. God loves me. He will go to the entire ends of the world, of the universe, to portray and manifest his love. God loves me. Somebody say, God loves me. When I was bad and horrible, he still loved me. How come when you come to him? That's why I'm talking to believers, praise God. To unveil your identity of what you have become in Christ. You are loved. You are an object of God's love. Praise be to God. Whatever you do, do it knowingly. Do it understandingly. Do it having an understanding within your spirit that nothing can move me from the love of God. It is already sealed in Christ Jesus. And so I must open my heart, not to fight it, but to receive it and acknowledge things may happen in my life, but it's the same temptation that are happening to people elsewhere. It's not unique to me because of what my fathers did. Because no. Things may happen, but you are loved. I say you are. You are loved. And the love himself will give everything to portray how good he loves. Somebody say, I'm loved. Yes. He says, great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, he says, even when we were dead in sins, as he quickened us, praise be to God, together with Christ, by grace ye were saved. Somebody say, amen. You see, not everybody you love, you show mercy. I said, not everybody you love, you do what? You show mercy. Sometimes you love people, but you can't show them. You get angry and you do what? Not everybody you love, but Jesus decided to love us that way. But the combination of love and mercy brought salvation. There's an important analysis we need to see here. I'm teaching those that want to learn the understanding of Scripture. It says, even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened us? That word quickened made us alive together with Christ. In other words, I was dead, finished in my sins, completely gone, messed up. Everything I did by nature, sin was just working in my body. By nature, we did things that we never wanted to do. We were pulled on the ear. Like, you don't want to do something, but something tells you to do it, because by nature, things just came and happened, and you justified their happening because it was by nature we sinned. It was by nature. It was just our way of living. But Christ looked at us as being dead in that situation. In other words, with no life, with no control of our lives. Just like a dead man lies dead. He can do nothing. He can perform nothing. He can just stay in a coffin and be nothing. Has no life in him. And that is how we were, according to God, dead, useless. But this is what God did. He got a substitute, a replacement, that came to die with us, praise God. And our sins came upon him, that he became sin, praise God, that he may come into our sorry state, and by his divine nature, Gita Layaba, bring life into our deadness. Stop that deadness, that he brought life into us, invigorated us spiritually, raised us with him, that he that had no sin became sin, and he raised us with him, praise God. And as he raised up with him, we also raised God. As he raised from resurrection, the new man rises. We spiritually came alive, praise God. That when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we come alive, praise God. And as we came alive, what happened to us? We were also portioned with him. This is where you see it's an identification. As Christ died, I identified in his death as me being dead. I identified with his death as me being dead. And as he rose, I rose to the newness of life. This means I no longer have the dead life in me. The life I now live is the life of the Son of God. Praise be to God. And that is why I want to awaken to you as the child of God. When we talk of the child of God, we are talking of life of God oozing inside of you. We are talking that you have the life of Christ in you. We are talking of you not being the same. Praise be to God. He quickened you in Christ Jesus. For by grace we were saved. We were quickened together with Jesus. Now this reminds us. This reminds us. If you rose up with him, why do you talk of yourself as the former life? Why do you talk of yourself as the former life unless you still have the seed of unbelief? That's where unbelief comes into believers. You cannot. That means you are nullifying what Jesus did. You are trying to say, well, you resurrected, but I'm still having the old leg. No. We rose with him afresh. That is the faith. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. That we who were dead, we are no more. We're dead and we're ended. But the man that is risen is a man that has been born of God from resurrection. We are born of Christ from resurrection. Praise be to God. Somebody say, I'm born of God. So we cannot talk of ourselves according to the old life. being a child of God, if you are really honest in line with the faith of what God has said you are, you should speak in line of what God says you are. Don't try to look at things around you and try to say, but. No, you say what he says you say. Sooner or later, you will see everything working together for your good. But the moment you are divided, my Bible says a double-minded man is not blessed. The moment you are divided, one day you are of your fathers, that are the troubles, you see for me, you know. Then the other day you're in church and you say, yes, I'm born again, I'm more than a conqueror. Oh, the other day things happen, oh, you see these people where I used to live, you see. No. The devil is a liar. You are wholly born again, a child of God, praise God, with the inheritance of God running through you. The life of God running through you. God is true about you. Can somebody say amen? I don't know who I'm talking to here, but I know one thing is true. You will not remain the same. Somebody say, I'm not remain the same. Yes, you will not remain the same. In this way, God has manifested his love towards us. God has manifested his love towards us. Praise be to God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. I've just put this in. God has manifested his love towards us. And this is what he has done. If you're on Facebook, whenever you are on YouTube, listen to this. In this, God has manifested the love of God. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Not live through our ancestors, but live through who? We are not living through what our fathers did. We're not living through what our mothers did. We're living through Christ. Somebody say Christ. You are living through Christ. Child of God, there are benefits of knowing I'm living in Christ. There are benefits that come with it. We are living through Christ. We don't live through life trying to open the pages of our ancestors. Look, last time you did this, so let's go and cut that off. No. It is Christ and Christ alone. We see life through the eyes of Christ. Nothing else. Everything failed us before. We walked with our fathers when we were failed. We walked with our ancestors, we failed. Everything failed. But one thing changed us all, and that is Christ. And look at verse 10. We live life through Christ. Verse 10 says, herein is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation, as the atonement, as the one that says, listen, I'm paying everything that was. I don't know who I'm talking to, but listen to me. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. He said to us, and he says it again. I want you to hear this clearly. To God be the glory. That God sent everything that pays for the debt. He is the propitiation, the atonement. Thank you, Jesus. The atonement that brings us back to the wonderful love of God, which Adam had lost us. What is this going to help you today? Knowing the status of a child of God. You must come to the realization that I'm loved. You must come to the realization that because of this happening, that happening, that happening, they don't determine my relationship with God. My relationship with God is not attached to how I perform and how I don't perform. My relationship with God is attached to one man called Jesus Christ. He is the one that fulfilled and met the standard that pleases God. So that's why he says we live in him, not according to our standard, not according to how we feel, not according to how we look, not according to what things like. No, we live our life through him. Through him. Him. Him alone and none else. And not that he did it because we were good. He did it because he loved us. And how did he do it? By giving him as an atonement. I don't know what kind of thing may be holding you to think that you don't deserve the love of God, but this one thing I need you to realize. You have received that love. Praise be to God.
And this love is the love that comes through the Son of God. Praise be to God. So as we come to an end here, I need you to realize, I'm come to the understanding, you are loved, child of God. It's time to walk in the full status of who you are. It's time to walk in the full status and measure of what God has made you, because he says that he has paid. The word propitiation that you have just seen there is a word that says the atonement has been made. So however far away somebody lived to let you down, just like Adam let the whole human race down, however far away it was, the blood of Jesus has brought everything to atonement. We've been atoned in Christ, not because of our performance, but because of what Christ has done, because of the love of God, because of the affection God has towards you. To God be the glory. For this reason, I call on you to arise to the notions and understanding of the relationship you have in Christ. God has chosen to express himself to you and saying, call me Father. Let me pray for you before we go. I want to bless the Lord. We're going to sing a song here, but I want to pray for you before we end. To God be the glory. I need you to realize that as a child of God in the name of Jesus Christ, you must talk to God as your Father. So I want to talk to my Father. I want to talk to our Father for you right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, for everybody that has been underneath the sound of my voice through this teaching, Ancient of Days, I pray that the witness of the Spirit runs through them in Jesus' name as conviction of telling them that they are no longer strangers, they are no longer servants, but Lord God, they are heirs to the commonwealth of God. They are heirs, Lord God. They are heir to God himself. That they are sons, Father God. I pray from today in the name of Jesus that that foolish wisdom of the world is cast off. That you may stand in the rights and the goodness that God has made you to be. I declare that the devil shall not divide you. I declare that you shall stand in unity with what Christ has done for you. I decree upon you that you are alive in Christ. Father, I pray for everyone that has been underneath the sound of my voice, that the strength of the grace of God be imparted upon their hearts, that today they may awaken, Father God, to the reality of the truth that is in Christ Jesus, that no weapon fashioned against them shall prosper. I pray in the name of Jesus that they may rise to the inheritance that God has established in their spirit, in the name of Jesus. I pray that they shall see the world no more, but they shall see the world of Christ in their lives, in the name of Jesus. Father, I don't pray that you take them out of this world, but I pray in the name of Jesus that they walk in this world relating to the heavenly where they come from, relating to the world of the heavens where they come from, relating to that which is above. Praise God, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus, in their spirit, Father God, they are strengthened, equipped to go on, and Lord God, overcome every challenge that is against them in this world. And as we come together to come and sing this song, I pray that you are blessed as we declare before the Lord and we confess the goodness of the love of God in Jesus' name. Come, let us declare God's love once again as we confess him, as we declare his goodness in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, my dear. What have you got for us today? Great is your love. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Great is the love of God. To God be the glory.